Hello, it's Paul O'Mahony here on the road from Limerick to Cork, and I'm just going to bring you in on what I've been doing over the last few days of this week. I went to a big gathering of entrepreneurs in Dublin. It was 10,000 strong. It was mainly technologically oriented entrepreneurs, and the name of the event was called the Web Summit. It's been going for a few years. It was the brainchild of a couple of young Irish students, and it's become incredibly successful and grown from, you know, a really small gathering to quite enormous. 10,000 is very big for Ireland. It was held in the biggest exhibition place in Ireland, called the Royal Dublin Society, popularly known as the RDS. And there were quite a lot of the great and the good in the tech entrepreneur world there. I won't go through in this audio boo any names of particular people. I mean, you can find on the internet the names of all the people who were speaking. There you can even find the names of the companies who exhibited there. But I wanted to capture a few reflections before the memory of it dims. I went to it on a special train, which was the brainchild of a company called Trustev. And their chief, if you like, is a guy called Pat Phelan. And Trustev got this idea that it would be good to run a train from Cork up to Dublin, approximately 2¾-hour train journey, and invite a number of startup companies, a number of sponsors, a number of journalists, and a number of other people who are in the same tech entrepreneurial area, and bring them all up to Dublin on a specially chartered train. And this was very unusual. This is not a normal thing. And the train travelled up to Dublin and went into the main train station at Houston, and then travelled across the city on internal city lines and came to a stop very close to the conference centre. And it was an exciting experience. On the train, there was even a competitive pitch event in which about 15 or 20 companies pitched their business, and there were some people judging, and some people won and got a prize. I think they got a Nokia Lumiere phone as a prize. But that added a real flavor. There was Bloomberg was there, media were on the train, and I thought that was a terrific start to the Web Summit. It fostered a sense of community. It also, in a very small way, but it helped Cork's reputation as a centre for innovation. Now, this is a very competitive situation, because everybody claims to be a centre of innovation. So, but the very least that it was that you have to keep your own end up. So this was a good example of what Cork people are capable of doing, and it got quite a lot of media attention, and so it'll have done a lot for morale, I think, that the train itself. Anyway, we arrived up on the train late-ish in the evening, before the Web Summit, and there was last minute time for people to register for the Web Summit. I didn't bother registering on that night. I just went to with my business partner Jonathan Arm. We went and checked into our bed and breakfast. I missed the start of the Web Summit the following day. I missed that because myself and Jonathan went to see a potential client who was just too attractive to be to not be visited. And we were there for much longer than we expected. So the first morning of the Web Summit was for me wiped out. And I also then, if I fast forward to the end of it, it finished on Halloween evening, and I really didn't want to be away from home on Halloween evening. I actually wanted to be walking around the estate where I live, because it's the big social gathering of the year on the estate. And this year, my daughter wanted to go off with her friends and go around to the houses, and I've been around it every year. And actually, I that's one of my regrets, that I didn't. I nearly got back in time, but I didn't get back in time for it. I didn't get on a train until 5 o'clock, and that didn't get me home to Cork until around 8, and it was more or less over by then. But so I missed the beginning and I missed the end. At the end, I missed the Irish Prime Minister, Enda Kenny, on stage with Elon Musk, and I would very much like to have seen Elon Musk. I've heard an awful lot about him because he's South African, and my business partner is South African, and I've even heard him referred to as possibly the next Steve Jobs. But to be truthful, I didn't know anything about him until just before the Web Summit, which I suppose will shock some people. But anyway, I didn't, and that's a fact. So going back then to the Web Summit, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but I've got a thought about it. There were so many businesses there. I'm talking about, you know, hundreds. I don't know how many they were exhibiting, and I've done a podcast about a certain observation I made about new businesses. But I put that over on Change Agents Radio, the business channel for our business, if you like. Although I better not use the words too. I'm not using the words too precisely. It basically, we have an audio boot channel for our business, and it's at Change Agents Radio, and it's for people who are specially interested in business. I don't want to go into all the startups, but just to say that there were loads of them. In addition to that, there were lots of stages around the place where people were speaking all the time. I think there might have been about 5 stages. I mean, some of them were stages where companies were pitching their product or their service to people who were judging how good they were, and in the audience would be some investors listening to them. And then there was a marketing, online marketing stage, and there was a main stage, and there was there were a few other stages there. So there was stuff to go to all the time, you see. There were about 4 or 5 programs running throughout it. So there, you were spoiled for choice, really. There was free food. There was free food around the place. And I think there were probably free teas and coffees and water as well, although I never managed to find those. But that was because I was too busy talking to people. So it was a vigorous gathering. And since I've been to the Web Summit, a number of people have asked me, was it good? And, you know, my first reaction to say is, yes, it was good. And then I think to myself, well, I haven't really given the person any insight or any useful information if I say it was good. And then I think, well, if I was to go through in any sort of useful detail, I wouldn't know where to start. It's much easier to answer questions like, did you go to the Squarespace stand and because your new website is on Squarespace? Well, the answer is I didn't, but at least I would be able to give some information. Or, you know, how do they treat you when you went to a particular stand, or any, it's an awful lot easier to answer questions which are about information rather than judgment. Judging the Web Summit to be good, bad or indifferent is something that I'm not able to do, because my philosophy or my approach is that the Web Summit was was as good as I'm able to make it. You know, it is for me to draw the value out of the Web Summit rather than the Web Summit had to put some value in front of me. But And they have put more than enough value. In fact, you could say they've put an excess of food in front of me. I would suffer. I'd be a real, what is it, the opposite of a gourmet. I mean, I'd be a gourmand if I if I consumed everything that was there. I'd also be completely, you know, wrecked, and I'd be mad. But it, because it was too much. But going back to the my main thought here is that, you know, it's, the responsibility is mine for drawing value out of the event. I mean, it's what I bring to the event in the form of curiosity, in the form of my ability to compare experiences that I have there with experiences I've had other places, my ability to form rapport with people so that they can, so that they're able and motivated to give me their best, I suppose I mean presentation, present themselves to me in the best possible way, in the way that two people having a conversation present themselves to each other. So as far as I'm concerned, the Web Summit was, in one sense, it was perfect. It was perfectly designed to give me an enormous amount of catalysts to spark off my imagination, my ability to make connections, my ability to make very simple, straightforward conversations with human beings about what they are thinking, feeling, and doing. Not just at the Web Summit, but beyond that. So I had great conversations. I've started to make a list of all the individuals I had conversations with on the Listly platform, and that's list.ly. In case you've never heard of it, it's a very, very useful place to put a list and share it with other people, and but also put it there for your own subsequent use. So I've started to slowly fill up a list of all the people I've spoken to, and that at least will give me a chance to say, look, you know, God, did I mainly talk to men or did I mainly talk to women? I mean, it's very hard to remember. I certainly talked to a good few women, but, you know, what was the ratio? Those kind of things interest me, just as there were little controversy, well, a big controversy, actually, I'd have to say, around the gender ratio of speakers at the Web Summit. And that was Cindy Gallup. I will actually say this here, although I didn't really want to pick out any individual in this kind of reflective audio, but I have to flag up Cindy Gallup. I mean, I haven't known her work before, although I have had, you know, a few tweets with her, I think, over the last, you know, year or so. Well, in fact, it must have been longer than that. But you wouldn't even say that we were virtual friends or anything like that. But I've been aware of her. I think it was the title of her, the movement she set up, which is called Make Love Not Porn. And I thought that was a terrific phrase, you know, it immediately got across its message, and it was a powerful statement of a value position, and I liked it a lot. But anyway, I went to see Cindy Gallup present on the stage, and I was blown away. I was blown away, I think, more than anything else, because over the last year, myself and Jonathan, my business partner, have been sort of clarifying what our business stands for. In fact, we've been doing that for more than that length of time when I think back, about a year and a half now. And so when, you know, a speaker puts across a point of view which you've come to own yourself, in a way, it's quite exciting. At least I found it quite exciting, because Cindy said a number of things from the platform that I have, you know, adhere to and stand by, and want to spread messaging around, if you like, or tell people about, or enroll people to the cause. But it was quite exciting to hear her articulate that movement towards being more human in the world of business, being more human. Now that's the shortcut version of what I'm talking about, to being human. But it is about being totally present in the form of emotions and imagination, not just with intellect, in the world of business. I find that an awful lot of people in the world of business are present in the form in intellect. They split themselves in. There's a kind of splitting, almost of the kind that Melanie Klein would have said goes on in the form of a young infant, and they just intellectualize about business. They're very well able to use complex models and you know, system descriptions, but when it comes down to it, they don't express themselves about business in an emotional and particularly imaginative way. Now, there are obviously huge exceptions to this, and I, like anyone who's keen on emotions and imagination, what you do is you just go and find people who are like that and pay more attention to them than anybody else. I know that's how it works, but anyway, I found Cindy Gallup to be, you know, a really, really energetic, but a rounded human being, and I like that a lot, really. And the other thing that struck me strongly about her is that she wasn't passive. She's actually on a mission, and it was obvious that she was on a mission, and she was trying to change things, and she wasn't presenting a detached analysis. Hers was a passionate cry for a rallying call, if you like, for change. And I found that very invigorating, so much so that I sort of elevated her in my mind to being having joined the ranks of my heroes, or even our business heroes. And I had all sorts of thoughts around that. I think that's really all I want to say. I just really wanted to be able to reflect on it. The biggest single point I want to leave vivid in my own memory and share with you is the point about it being the responsibility of the participant in the event to draw value from it, rather than sitting back in a detached way judging the event based upon how brilliant the speakers are, or how brilliant the speakers are, or something like that. I actually think if I went to an event and there were a whole lot of people at it, provided there were plenty of people at it, plenty of diverse people at it, that the speakers could be crap and I wouldn't be too bothered at all, because I would put myself around the event chatting to people, and there's no way that I would, you know, fail to find inspiring people in a big gathering of people, no matter what kind of event it was. I think I could go to the World Congress of Social Workers and find some wonderfully inspiring, entertaining people. I have no doubt about that. And that, by the way, I was once trained on a course out of which most of the people became social workers, so I have a special connection with social workers. I'm a sociologist. I didn't ever become a social worker, but there was all social workers in the faculty that I was in studied sociology, so we were all in, you know, we were in together, and we studied research methods together, and we studied, you know, sociological theory together. It was a good experience for me at the Web Summit. I have an awful lot to be grateful to Paddy Cosgrave and his grand team, and my heart boggles at the huge ness of the Web Summit and how